Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, monkeys. So Ocean's 8 wins the box office at number one over the weekend, bringing in about $41.5 million. Handily, I might add. So we didn't know that going into this screening and this review, but we do now. So did you go? Did you see it? Are you on the fence? Do you want to compare notes after you did see it? Well, check it out. We're going to talk about Ocean's 8 right now. Okay, so here we are talking about a movie that regular listeners, if I even have any, are going to be surprised to hear that we're talking about. But I thought after doing all sorts of big Marvel Universe, Star Wars-oriented, basically a bunch of nerds, it's male nerds sitting around in a studio talking about superheroes and space operas, that we would go with one of the big releases of the weekend, Ocean's 8, and I would invite a female perspective onto the Snark Monkey podcast. And in this case, just happens to be my wife, Sharla. Hello.
Hi. I'm nervous.
Why are you nervous?
Because I don't do podcasting. I don't do anything remotely like podcasting. So that's why I'm nervous.
That's not true. You talk about stuff and movies and things.
Yeah, but that's talking. That's been going on since the dawn of man.
That's exactly what this is.
And woman.
This is talking about
I
stuff.
I better say man and woman.
This is the version of what we would have said in the car if I had allowed you to speak about the movie before we got
true.
Back.
This is true.
All right. So Ocean's 8, just as a quick background, like I need to tell anybody, it is not a reboot or remake of the Ocean's franchise that we know from the original Steven Soderbergh movies, which had virtually an all-male cast. It was tons
although
of...
some people show up that were from...
Okay, hold on. Now, don't give it away.
Jumping in.
That was also,
Was that a spoiler?
I don't know. Okay. I mean, there's going to be... I think people know by now there's some cameos.
Let's not be too precious about this.
But what the point is, it is a continuation, really. It's not a sequel, per se, but it still lives in the universe. Sandra Bullock's character, Debbie? Was that her name?
I have no idea.
Yeah, she looks like a Debbie. Debbie Ocean is the sister of Danny Ocean.
I know Cate Blanchett was Lou.
Yeah.
And that's all we know. She's Lou.
That's it. That's all we know about her. She's very mysterious.
She's very cool Lou, too. She's awesome.
And so this is, I guess the whole family of Oceans are ne'er-do-wells and con persons because she's getting out of jail. One of the things that right away that parallels the original Ocean's 11 movie is... There is also a scene at the beginning of that movie with George Clooney talking to the parole board and basically faking his way out. So they kind of parallel that from the original.
And also, of course, the entire look of the whole film, the way, you know, with the box editing and the box scenes. And
I think they,
the
yes.
Swipes and the, you know, all the cool stuff.
Yeah, the divided up screens a little bit. I'll talk more about that in a little bit because I have a little bit of a, if I'm going to nitpick on the movie, that's one of the things I thought it was lacking, but we'll get there.
Oh.
But basically, this is a primarily female cast. That's one of the big kind of, you know, touch points of the whole thing. Sandra Bullock, Cate Blanchett. We've got Rihanna in there. We've got Helena Bonham Carter. We've got Sarah Paulson. We've got Mindy Kaling, who's delightful. And
my favorite actress.
Anne Hathaway, who has become a lot of people's not favorite actress, but I think she actually kind of plays off her own role.
She actually wasn't. This is the irony. She wasn't that obnoxious playing an obnoxious person.
Well, I think the whole point was that she was playing off some of the negativity she's gotten over the past couple of years. She's been barraged, especially online, with people who have a real problem with her. And you're not her biggest fan, but you've never been like mean like people have been.
Well, first of all, I want to jump back just for a second and preface by saying that Larry would not let we just saw the movie literally like 20 minutes ago, drove home, and he would not let us talk about it in the car. I did not know that you had to be sort of, you know, you can't blow your wad or you have to be fresh. Is that gross to say?
No,
is that blue?
I mean, it's metaphorically speaking, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, I just, so, I didn't, so I we thought we would save this discussion
yeah,
until
no, it's
now.
Good. It's good.
Well, let's just start from like a real general standpoint. And just what did you think of it in general as an entertainment?
I have to say, I don't know if it's always this way with every film ever made that where there's a sequel, but I honestly like the first one the best and probably always will.
Well, I think that's part of the problem is that it's impossible to not compare this there's so much of the same DNA, and in many ways it's literally like, I think it would have been a better movie if it hadn't felt like they were saying, hey, let's make Ocean's 11 with all women. And I don't mean to demean it in that way. I mean, it doesn't feel as original as it should have.
But that's also what makes it super cool. And you know, with Cate Blanchett, you know, and Sandra Bullock sort of leading the way,
right. That
is, I would say, one of its best attributes too. But I also get what you're saying.
Well, I think they tried to put it, they tried to make it a more female driven movie from the standpoint of it kind of, it doesn't play to any cliches necessarily, but it does have kind of a very subtle feminist slant, which I think was not a hit you over the head thing.
Well, sometimes not so subtle, because remember they were for 2 seconds toying with the idea someone had recommended a male counterpart coming in and joining
right.
their crew, and they said, and I think Sandra Bullock said, oh no, or was it Cate Blanchett?
Well, it was her line there was, and you're right, that line is not necessarily subtle, but they didn't go back to that a whole bunch.
No,
the line was most of the time women are invisible, and in this case we need to be invisible, which, by the way, women are not invisible at the Met Gala, I need to point out.
And the coolest thing, these boots are made for walking, does make an appearance musically in the film, which was perfect. Far better than I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar.
Oh,
that
sure.
was in one of the Sex and the City films that I threw up when I watched that scene. So,
if you had asked me what's going to be on the soundtrack, I would have absolutely said Nancy Sinatra.
Absolutely.
Boots are made for, but the fact is, it actually comes at a really good point. But anyway, getting back to it, my point was, it is hard to not compare it to Ocean's 11. You know, it's by no means a classic, but it is so stylishly done. And you talk about some of the things that they do stylistically that are close. I don't think this has anywhere near the same kind of real.
Cachet, no.
Yeah, it's not. It just,
nuance is the word.
Yeah, well, the first one, it just has a real style to it. And that's largely, I think, because Steven Soderbergh, the director, is a real stylist. I mean, he really knows.
He did this one, too.
No,
right?
He did not. No.
I saw his name.
As a producer, I think, just because. Of the property, really.
Okay, I knew I saw his name.
No, he had nothing to do with this other than he gets to put
well,
his name on
then,
it.
Yeah, then I kind of felt that.
First one is a very stylish movie.
Yeah.
It's got, well, you know, the marriage of music and camera movement and that stuff. And this director, Gary Ross, who is a solid director who's done a handful of movies we know, Pleasantville, Seabiscuit, The Hunger Games. I mean, there's nothing consistent at all in those movies stylistically. And he's, for lack of a better term, just a solid director who told a story.
You could tell they tried.
Yeah.
You could tell they tried.
Yeah, but it just...
To emulate it.
I think part of it is that because it feels so much of a derivative of that first Ocean's 11, that you're hoping it's going to be a little more stylish. But that's my biggest nip. We haven't really said if we liked it or not, though.
Well,
I liked it.
This is what I'd say. I would recommend it to someone who would ask me, hey, should I see it?
Yeah.
It
clearly has. I mean, I don't know if our little theater we went to is to judge on a Sunday afternoon at 1:45, but it was packed.
It was packed.
So I think there's a real interest in it. Did you happen to notice the makeup of the audience at all? Because I feel like it was 75% female.
Oh, you know, I noticed couples.
Okay.
I thought
more women.
Probably. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like it's going to be I definitely think it's going to be a female draw for sure. And maybe also in a weekend where there's either, you know, Star Wars or kids animated movies out that right. maybe as an adult film with some fun to it, that it might actually be a pretty big hit. I haven't seen any box office numbers yet, but but it was packed.
Well, and I think you can also say, though, Larry, that it's Cate Blanchett is a huge, I mean, anyone who's a Cate Blanchett fan, like, everybody raise their hand. She's amazing. I liken it to Jeremy Renner. If I knew that there's a Jeremy Renner film out, I'll probably go see it, unless animals get killed, and then I won't. But you
know,
but
Cate Blanchett's not going to fill theaters, though.
I think she'd fill theaters with both genders, don't you?
No, I think this is more a matter of a combination of the, I mean, someone who's much more likely to fill seats is Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
But the combination of the people, I mean, they could, I will say, I don't think they could have cast this any better.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really beautifully diverse cast, mm-hmm. both in age and,
yeah,
you
nice.
Know, people who have established themselves in completely different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, I didn't mention Awkwafina, who's, you know, kind of a more youthful personality and rapper.
Rihanna.
Rihanna is in there.
A freaking great job,
yeah.
I thought.
Some of the stories that she's really good.
She's really good.
And she's been in other movies and had nothing
Has
to
she
work
really?
With. Yeah, she's
oh,
been in
terror. No,
she's been in bad movies in small roles. And this just proves, okay, nobody's put her in the right thing because she's really fun in this.
She was one of the better, I think, more believable characters, actually.
There have been apparently reports of, in certain screenings, depending on where you are and who you're seeing it with, Rihanna comes on screen and people just like shriek in the audience,
oh,
like,
really?
Yeah! So it's drawing different people for a lot of different reasons.
That's it. That's right. The cast is so like diverse, not just in terms of where they're coming from career-wise, but also age-wise.
Yeah, that's right.
And culturally. You know,
which I thought was really smart,
yes,
and
super smart.
And doesn't feel like forced necessarily.
Mm-hmm,
it's like
yeah.
the characters are you know, kind of in, you know, they do. This is again typical of the Ocean's movies or any kind of heist kind of movie. You got to build the team. You got to go find the experts.
Mm-hmm.
We spend a lot of time doing that. I almost feel like we spent more time doing that than we did actually doing the heist.
Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, I enjoyed that. I actually kind of liked seeing where they were from. I think there's a middle part of the movie that I don't think we get, which is when you say the setup.
I know what you're going to say.
What's that?
Just say it. I think
I was going to say, I don't see a lot of, like, I don't know, rehearsal is not quite the right, or build up to it. It goes from, like, build the team, here's what we're going to do, and then they launch into it.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some mild setup in terms of, I don't think we're giving anything away here. The plot is around this very expensive necklace that has been stored away in a vault for 50 years at Cartier. They convince this young starlet who's very popular to wear it to the Met Gala. And in the process, they're going to steal it while she's there at the gala. And then that's basically the heist. You know, one of the things I missed, again, trying not too much to compare it to the original Ocean's 11, but we saw a lot of the buildup, the rehearsal, the meticulous nature of that, seeing what could go wrong, you know, kind of that practicing, I don't know, montage or whatever, that middle section, I felt like was a little thin in this movie.
It was.
But
it was. I mean, if you're going to compare it to the first
yeah.
one, for sure.
What did you think I was going to say?
That.
Oh, okay.
What you just said, because I agree.
All right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
In terms of the plot itself, it was a little twisty and it was kind of fun. I actually think once we got into that, I felt a little bit bored in the beginning part of, to be honest, I was hoping they would get a little faster to building the team.
Mm.
I didn't need to hear so much backstory about, Sandra Bullock's character necessarily.
Yeah. That was a little, yeah.
There is a crime that she committed or she was framed for that we learned about. And there is, again, like the Ocean's 11 movie, there is a love subplot. In fact, I think they even stole a line from the first movie, or at least it sounds really familiar, about pulling a con within the con,
mm.
meaning she's trying to basically get some revenge on somebody who did her wrong. Similar, but not exactly right. I mean, in the first movie, in the Ocean's 11 movie, George Clooney's trying to win Julia Roberts' character
yeah.
back.
Yeah.
So there's a love interest that he doesn't tell anybody about. And
so it's a formula. It's just
yeah.
a little bit.
It's a twist on that in this one because she's actually trying to get back at the guy, not trying to win him back.
She straps on her boots and she walks all over. Is that a spoiler?
We're going back to... No, that's all right.
Okay.
I mean, there's enough twists in this.
Oh, and by the way, Sandra Bullock has had some very, very nuanced work done on her face.
Okay.
And just, no, kudos. She's managed to pull it off without it, like, screaming at you. Like, a la maybe Nicole Kidman, yeah, at first, at least.
And, you know, Sandra Bullock, you know, is kind of one of those actors. I've never been what you would call a fan of Sandra Bullock, but she clearly just...
She looks great.
She's just solid.
She's a great actress. She looks good.
Yeah.
It's great for women my age because it's like, yeah. You know, that goes back to it just has something, especially for females, it's got something for everybody.
You clearly are a fan of Cate Blanchett. I am too.
Yeah.
How can you not be?
Oh,
but
God,
what did you think of her whole demeanor and look in this? I was like really different for her, I thought.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
I did too. I think she was a little acty in a couple.
You think so?
And I've never seen her be a little acty, but maybe it was just because she was rough. She was supposed to be rough around the edges. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think maybe that was just a tad overplayed, but I don't know. That may just be me. I don't know.
I feel like this is more of her real personality.
You know what it is? She plays more subtle characters usually. This was a very... what's the word I'm looking for? Like clearly drawn character,
but
almost hyperbole in terms of.
But the odd thing is, I think that's more of her personality because she is a very brash kind of.
Yeah, interesting.
You know, she pulls back a lot when she plays more subtle roles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean,
so is that the way she is in reality?
When I've seen her in interviews and stuff, she's very, you know, like
she's a thick-skinned Aussie.
Yeah, I mean, she's very open.
Tough,
she's
rough and tough.
Yeah,
Aussie.
She doesn't hold back.
Oh, yeah, that whole thing at the Oscars when the guy asked her what she was wearing and the camera was, you know, like at her knees or something. And she actually bent over and looked in the camera. She said, my face is up here. I love that.
Yeah.
That was
awesome. Yeah, I think Cate Blanchett doesn't give any Fs. And I think that's kind of what this character is.
She doesn't pull any punches.
Yeah. I liked this character. I liked her look. I liked the whole design of
it. I loved the character and I loved her. I don't know. It was probably just me. There was a couple little things where it's like, and you know, I kind of felt that a little bit about the whole film, if I'm going to criticize it at all. I felt like a little bit of it was a little bit too like, oh, this is so freaking scripted. It just seemed like the first Ocean's 11, it was just seamless. You just got right into it.
Yes.
It was so real, and you get more of a sort of produced feel to this one.
I think you hit on something. You're right. The Oceans, again, apologies to comparing it, but it's impossible not to.
They invite you to compare it too. I mean, people show up from the original one,
and also it does. You know, it is essentially a similar structure. The first Ocean's 11 especially is effortless, and everything just kind of flows. Everybody is in the flow, and all the actors in this movie are excellent. I mean, I think they do a good job, but the film itself, it feels a little labored, like it's trying just a little bit too hard.
Yes,
and maybe because it doesn't have that same stylish panache of the first movie, that some of that maybe even feels later on. Like maybe you don't try for that style of the original, and maybe you just try and do something completely unique.
Right? I think they would have been so better off if they would have just gone in a completely different direction. Just take the premise, but just do your own thing.
And I think they tried to do that because they put it in a scenario that feels more female. I'm trying to kind of couch the terms in a way that don't sound like cliched or like I'm stereotyping or something. But you can't help but it's about jewelry and it's at the Met Gala. And it's you know, there's
beautiful people.
But in terms of the plot, you know, it does have this little twisty moment. I do want to talk about Anne Hathaway a little bit more because,
do we have to?
No, I think so. No, because look, you have contributed to the culture that is hate Anne Hathaway.
Well, no, it's just, I didn't know there was a culture. I just, ever since, what was the play that they made a movie out of?
Oh, well, Les Miserables.
Yes. Yeah. Ever since Les Miserables, I just, and her appearance at the Oscars, I don't watch the Oscars, as you know. That was one year that I watched it.
No, that has sent her over the edge.
Oh, my God.
Right.
And so
but,
she was right there with Gwyneth Paltrow, and all of a sudden I put the two of them together.
You liked her in Devil Wears Prada. And you liked her in that movie I never saw with Robert De Niro.
What movie was
The Intern?
I don't remember.
You like that.
Okay.
All right.
I don't remember it at all.
And in a way, I think she's actually playing off that persona that people, she very clearly knows that, I mean, I feel like they wrote this role for her.
Yeah.
My point is she plays to that in this. She leans into it.
She does.
And I think it served her well in this.
It does. I mean, as I said earlier, I think the irony is that, you know, she's good playing obnoxious, and maybe that's what she's.
Yeah, doing. I think maybe the more she does where she's not being too earnest, that's the thing that can be a real turnoff. Is mm-hmm. that, and I feel bad because she's, you know, clearly talented or whatever.
She's
and
probably a very nice person. Did you ask Pete Siegel? Is she a nice person?
No, I've met her. She is a nice person.
Oh, you did me. Oh, that's right. She talked about her son, which was pretty awesome. Yeah. I should like her because of that.
No, she's a lovely person. You should like her, period.
No, you should.
Okay.
Did you feel that it has appeal beyond just a female targeted? I mean, I know I'm a man and I went in there and watched it and I had a good time. But is it totally going for a female audience here?
I think largely to a large extent it is. And I think to a large extent they pull that off. There's enough there just as a female watching it that, again, I would recommend it to anybody, male or female, to go see it. And because of that, I think that was really, you know, the intent was clearly that. And I think to maybe 80 to 90% pulled it off. Again, if it would have been more finessed, and if they would have tried a little bit harder, maybe with the finessing, just not visually, but also I think in terms of the storyline.
Storytelling, yeah.
I think that would have been, amazingly great.
Yeah, it avoided, I think what I'm trying to say is it avoided any sort of like stereotypes or kind of, I mean,
mm-hmm. It does.
It was done in a thoughtful way.
They could have easily done that. Yeah. They didn't. Yeah.
And I think from that standpoint, it was executed beautifully. It mm-hmm. just, it could have used a better director is what I'm going to say, and maybe a slightly better script. Mm-hmm. But all in all, I mean,
the acting was solid.
Yeah.
And I loved, what's his name? The guy who played the insurance guy. What's his name?
Oh, James Corden.
Oh my God. He was so good.
Probably one of the
highlights.
There were probably only two main male roles in the whole thing. And mm-hmm. James Corden shows up. I don't think that's a big spoiler. And he plays, he's delightful. He's
so good.
He's wonderful.
Yeah. I loved every scene he was in.
All right.
So Ocean's 8, generally a very positive review here coming from both the male and female monkey.
Do you give tomatoes or, you know, that would be a copyright infringement.
What do you give?
Do you give monkey?
I've talked about giving monkey
pellets?
I've talked about giving monkey poops on a scale of 1 to 5 poops.
How did I know that?
But I don't know if poop.
I didn't know that.
But it doesn't. But it sounds like it's bad. So if you give something 5 monkey poops, is that bad?
I don't know. We'll have to ask the Lone Star people.
I just, oh, wow, plugging another podcast right here in the middle of mine.
We'll ask them what we should do.
I guess ultimately, just in general terms, I would give it a better than average recommendation.
Yes, but not the best. Maybe like in terms of stars, let's just do stars.
Yeah.
I'd say four.
Yeah, I'm not big in the stars.
Four out of five, I'd say.
I thought it was a diverting and fun movie to watch. I don't know it has to be seen on the big screen. I don't think there's anything about that. I think if you wait.
No, not at all. Yeah. I would totally wait to watch this one at home.
I mean,
don't waste your money.
And look, I'm not saying that Ocean's 11, the original, was like a classic. Believe me, I'm not talking about the Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr. debacle.
The Clooney Pitt one.
Yeah, the Soderbergh. That's by no means a classic, but it is immensely watchable. It's like one of those that if I saw on TV during the day, I would totally watch for
actually,
a little while.
Honestly, I really don't think there's been a really good one since. I mean, not a 5-star one.
No. But this movie kind of dissolves literally as it's going from the screen to your eyes. I don't know that I'll remember much about it tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the reasons I made us talk about it now.
We'll totally forget.
But a great effort on everybody's part, beautifully done from an acting standpoint. It was a fun time at the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I laughed a little bit, and I
you didn't cry a little bit.
Yeah, there was absolutely
nothing to cry about.
Emotional involvement whatsoever.
And no puppies, no dogs. So
yeah.
That was a negative, but nobody got hurt. So that's a positive.
Yeah, no animals as far as I can tell.
So 4 out of 5
although there were quite a few furs in there. So
that wasn't good. I did not appreciate that at all. But they could have been faux furs.
They might have been fake. Let's just say they were.
Very well done, faux first.
Yeah.
But so 4 out of 5 monkey poops? Do we agree on that?
I didn't think we were going to go with the monkey poops.
We're going to go to the monkey poops.
Let's just say we recommend it with some slight reservations.
Okay.
It's not a classic, but it's diverting entertainment for a Sunday afternoon.
And don't make reservations. Just watch it at home. That was great. Talk about force.
That was as subtle as Cate Blanchett's performance.
her performance was good. It was good.
Charlotte Morgan, thank you for joining me
in the monkey cage.
You're
welcome, my dear.
All right.
Okay.
Go make me dinner.
Oh.
See?
These boots.
That's hilarious. Go ahead.
I'm not going to sing it. No, I started and then I pulled back. I don't want to make anybody, Alex would die.
Are you ready?
Not that he's going to listen to this.
Keep walking.
Get a monkey.
Get a monkey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.